Okay, we're back. This is Fight Back. I'm here with Khalif at WCRS. I'm here with Connie, Bob Vitrakis, and Harvey. Okay, and we're here to talk about the children killed in China. You know, I don't know really why these attacks are happening. This is the fifth one, they say, and 9 were killed in this attack. So, you know, the government is saying that they don't know really why any of this is happening, but one thing I wanted to know is why are they targeting children? Is what's the point of it? Did anyone tell me? It's that serious. Like, just to have that type of mentality to harm a child, kindergartners at that, I don't think they are very, very, you know, complete in the head. I would say that, you know.
We got 1.5 billion people over there. It's probably been going on. We just haven't heard about it.
Yeah, which is always one of the questions is, as China gets more integrated with the West, and clearly massive economic transition, one figure I saw is they have 300,000 transient people that have been pushed off the land in the rural areas and have fled to the... Well, 300 million.
300 million.
Is of 300 million,
right,
which is the size of the United States
right,
in transient or people forced off the land.
People got to remember, China is the same geographical size as the United States, with 5 times
correct,
as many people.
Correct.
So, you know, there's bound to be some stress.
Oh, there's tremendous economic tension. The United States' unofficial policy is to blow China apart, break off the Islamic forces in the West, break off the southern part, Shanghai, etc.,
right,
and increasingly isolate them. So the government itself, this stuff may have been going on for periods of time and we just never hear about it, or they may be getting the westernization with mass media, and what you're getting is copycat killers here, as we've had in the United States for decades. Welcome to the TV land.
Well, I found an article on China Digital Times that speculates why this has happened and why the victims have been children. The experts there are saying that the recent attacks on school children are a result of the government's focus on economic development while not confronting the psychological impact of the accompanying social changes. And they seem to indicate that maybe it's kind of a revenge against society. It's really hard to say. It's definitely, I think, a speculation. It says the perpetrators have contracted a social, psychological, infectious disease. So that sounds kind of like the copycat theory.
Contagion.
that shows itself in a desire to take revenge on society. And last week we talked about the Kent State killings, which was the government killing people. And we also mentioned Columbine, which was an incident of like some high school students taking revenge on their society, their classmates. So I think why they would pick children as targets is really, it's really quite despicable, but maybe it has to do with just taking out their frustrations on the society as a whole.
Well, also, I mean, children, you're only allowed to have one child, so children have become sacred, so you have one child, and it's killed. Clearly, there's some aspect of this that is targeted at the government. In Columbine, of course, the hidden agenda there was their worship of Hitler and their ties to neo-Nazi movements, which were never... because they were doing this on in honor of Hitler, which often we don't talk about. But also, I know Harvey was concerned with the golf spill, which the question is whether or not that's the largest environmental disaster in world history, or is what happened over there in the Gulf when Saddam set those wells on fire?
Has the potential. You know, the bottom line on the golf spill, and we have a piece on that on the front page of freepress.org, is that it hasn't stopped. And we don't have reliable numbers on how many million gallons of oil is gushing every day. I got some, you know, if you want to get nasty, always put your stuff up at Daily Coast. So I got some, you know, replies, and it showed a graphic showing that the amount of oil spilled in the Gulf so far is relatively small. But that's the key term, so far. And meanwhile, the damage done is horrific already. I mean, birds and sea animals and the shoreline, and people put out of work. And, you know, the point of the piece is that, you know, here we've got all this tremendous military capability and all these resources, ships, tanks, planes, hardware of all varieties. We're paying $1 trillion a year for our military. We got hundreds of thousands of people in uniform sitting all over the world, from Okinawa to wherever, over 100 countries that we have troops in, and we can't muster them all. Why aren't they all in the Gulf? Why weren't they there for Katrina? Right. I mean, you know, this could be, I mean, God forbid if it continues, the oil will ruin the west coast of Florida, ruin the Florida Keys, go through the Florida Keys, and up the east coast of the United States. That's the way the currents will take it. It will also destroy every beach in the Gulf of Mexico basin. So unless they get this thing stopped, it will be essentially an apocalyptic event if it hasn't been already.
It is already, I would say.
Right. And so they now...
Said, at a point, it was like 5,000 gallons a day.
Oh, it's huge. No, well, yeah, you no, can't get more. Reliable figures.
Yeah, you can't.
And then you get these three guys from Halliburton, BP, and this other company, doing a Larry Curley and Moe routine, a Three Stooges routine in front of the Congress. It's embarrassing, for God's sakes. You know, each one blaming the other. And these guys should be locked in orange jumpsuits and sent down to the Gulf, thrown in water, for God's sakes. I mean, it's pathetic. So, and then, of course, now we have the introduction of what was the Kerry Lieberman Graham climate bill. It's now the Kerry Lieberman bill, since Graham has taken a hike. And it's as bad a bill as you can possibly imagine. All it is a bunch of handouts to the coal industry, the oil industry, and huge handouts to the nuclear power industry. And I got to say, I have not seen anybody come forward and say, well, this oil spill proves that we have to have nuclear power, because it really works the opposite way. I mean, you know, we were assured repeatedly that this oil spill couldn't happen. There's very specific hardware involved here.
Yeah.
And they all say, oh, it's fail-safe, blah, blah, blah. Turns out that on some of the key pieces of the equipment, the battery failed.
Yeah.
There was a battery failure, and you know, some simple mechanical stuff that they resisted being regulated on, and so nobody wants to bring up nuclear power in that context, because
so that caused the explosion.
Well, they're not sure, but it's possible, unlikely, as a matter of fact. And so I saw a great cartoon saying, "Well, here we have this, and now we're going to have this with a nuke." Mm-hmm. And I wrote a piece to that effect prior to this current one. So it is bad all around, and I am hoping that this energy bill doesn't pass. It's a travesty.
Yeah.
The environmental community is deeply divided.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got Nuclear Natural Resources Defense Council and Environmental Defense, who are very corporate, coming out in favor of the energy bill and the Apollo Alliance. Hmm. And then you've got Greenpeace and all the hardcore environmentalists very much against it. And meanwhile, you know, the Earth is going to hell in a handbasket.
Well, do you think BP will go bankrupt after this?
I think they should all go to jail, frankly. I mean, you know, bankruptcy's too good for these guys.
Yeah, that's true, but that's a lot of oil.
Well, here's my prediction. What you're going to see is a lot of environmental BP commercials. BP,
right.
More than oil, BP, we love the sun.
Like Toyota.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like Toyota did all that.
Yeah.
You know, when you get these catastrophes, they just get their money and tell you how wonderful they are.
Right.
Well, they're going to come out. I think there's going to be a recipe book for oil-soaked seagulls and how to prepare a dinner out of that. So, it's pathetic.
But what happened to the Green New Deal? Here we are in Ohio. Yeah. We've lost over 500,000 jobs since the year 2000.
Yeah.
And it's clear they're not coming back. That's the latest revelation, shockingly,
right,
by the New York Times, is that a lot of people, their jobs are permanently gone. What happened to this high-tech Green New Deal?
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, how does Strickland win as the governor when no one's going back to work?
Well, the question, I got to say, in all fairness to Strickland, Obama has underwhelmed all expectations.
Yeah.
It was Obama's burden to come in there
and
start the Green New Deal. And, to call him a sellout is to give him a compliment at this point in time. I mean, he's just come out very strongly in favor of whaling.
Yeah.
I mean, if George
Well,
Bush
the
done
whale
that,
oil could replace the
well,
oil. Well,
it tastes good. Dolphins taste good.
Yes.
No.
Or as they say in Japan, they're delicious. So, it's terrible. I mean, Obama, I thought
I'd
heard
burger it just yesterday.
Yeah. For Obama to come out for whaling, I mean, this is really, really amazing. I mean, the next thing you know is he's going to outlaw the birth control pill. I mean, you know, it's staggering how reactionary he really has been, and he's still advocating. I mean, this bill, this Carrie Lieberman bill, advocates offshore drilling. They've introduced in the midst of this apocalyptic oil. It's not a spill, by the way. It's very important. This is not an oil spill. This is a gusher. This is an underwater gusher. This is what you saw in Giant and all these other movies. There Will Be Blood. Wow. When the oil goes up in the air, except it's going up underwater, right. And they can't cap it. And so spill is a way understatement of what's going on here. And you know, and they just failed, right, with their first bottle cap there. Yeah. And they got no idea what the hell they're doing after all these years.
So where do they even start?
Well, they started and they failed, and now they're going to try and drill another. Who knows? They don't know what they're doing.
That's
and meanwhile, the military, you know, all these people are sitting around the Gulf of Mexico watching their lives go down the drain.
Yeah.
And 40% of the seafood in the country comes from the Gulf. All the shrimp, lots of the other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the Florida tourist industry, the Gulf tourist industry is billions of dollars. But the bottom line is, this is a hole in the planet. This is not something that we can survive in the long term. This goes on long enough, and we are basically dead.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the military is sitting in the other Gulf, killing people, wasting our money, wasting our resources, and has not mobilized at all for this. I mean, Barack Obama, any sane human being in the White House, should be leading the military into the Gulf to do whatever possible.
They can do, right.
They've privatized the attempt to stop this. You know, the sentiment seems to be, well, BP caused it. Let them fix it. Yeah. I mean, give me a break. You know, it's like, oh, this mass murderer killed these people.
Yeah.
You know, and he's still got a gun, so whatever. I mean, it's insane.
Right. This is the whole world's problem at this point. And, you know, this is a huge disaster. Probably, I bet you any money that before this happened, they're saying, oh, there will be no problem. It's foolproof.
Well, they did.
It's totally going to be great and peachy keen. And, you know, they're saying the same thing. Proponents of nuclear power are saying the same thing, that it's foolproof. They can make it safe. That there's just like one chance in 1,000 that anything could go wrong. But, you know, the Big Bang happened, and here we are. And it only has to happen once. And,
right. And it's already happened a number of times with the nuclear power industry.
Absolutely. And you think that this technology, after it's been around 100 years, we have nuclear, you know, waste stored in storage facilities and plants that are maybe aging after a few decades, you really think that they're going to be able to maintain it so that it's safe? I have serious doubts. I think they're lacking in a lot of foresight for future generations.
Well, and they've already leaked. Yeah. There's already a big leak in New Jersey into the aquifer from the Oyster Creek plant. So the aquifer under New Jersey is now radioactive. In Vermont, they've leaked into the Connecticut River. thankfully, Indian Point in New York has just been denied a water permit. Mm-hmm. But all these old reactors, you're absolutely right, Connie, are just, you know, catastrophes in progress. They're not waiting to happen. They are happening.
Yeah.
And you know, it's only a matter of time before one becomes supremely visible. And they got to say, you know, we're on the brink of a trifecta here. Bad news comes in threes. We've had the oil, you know, the coal disaster where the 27 guys were killed.
Yeah.
And God knows how many other people are dying. Now we've got this Gulf spill, and what's going to come next?
Yeah.
You know, I will not predict, but it's not a good feeling.
So I think one of the reasons that that these things are allowed to happen, obviously, is that our focus is not on environmental issues; it's on militarism and making money. And so, I mean, just I have to say, eat the rich. You know, these people think that they can protect themselves with their money against the environmental dangers that they're causing for everyone else. They're going to die in a couple decades. They don't care what's going to happen to the future generations. And I think we really need to figure out some kind of shift of focus and reconciliation with our environment. And it has to be a pretty hardcore effort if we're going to survive. Going into survival.
Tactics you have to use now, because when it comes to the environment, there's really nothing much that we can do.
Well, no, I don't agree with that. I mean, I think we've made some progress here. I mean, it's tough. And we thought some people thought with the election of Obama there'd be an improvement, but there's not a whole lot of difference environmentally between Barack Obama and George Bush at this point.
WCRS 102.1, 98.3. This is Fight Back with Bob Fetrakis, Harvey Wasserman, and Khalif Phillips, and me, Connie Goodell Newton.
Okay, and we're going to begin with who is that? Odd Collision. Give Storage Power again. Oh, okay. And his name is okay.
David Cameron.
43.
The new Prime Minister.
New Prime Minister
of the UK.
Maggie Thatcher's illegitimate son, is what I understand.
Yeah, so while we're talking about how conservative Barack Obama is and the Democratic Party in general, Bob brought up earlier that the Tories, which is the conservative party in England, are farther to the left than the Democrats in the United States. Do you want to talk about that, Bob?
Well, sure. I mean, people need to put this in perspective. In Europe, the so-called conservative parties, in England, in Canada, the progressive conservatives, are actually to the left of the Democratic Party in the United States. Unless you're one of the remaining fascistic parties in Europe, like in Italy, as a general rule, the Democratic Party is more pro-corporate, as seen by Obama in the Congress, than is the so-called conservative party, which has now made a coalition with the liberals in Europe. So also, one of the larger parties in parts of Europe, as Harvey well knows, is the Green Party. And the largest party coalitions throughout the European Union is actually the Socialist Party, followed by the Social Democrats.
Right.
So the conservatives in Europe, as a rule of thumb, are to the left of Obama and the Democrats in the United States.
They favor socialized medicine.
Socialized medicine, and as you're seeing here, they're green and they favor corporate regulation.
Yeah, well, who can imagine that? But plus, you got to remember, too, the Labour Party in England did bring us one of the great disappointments in all modern history, Tony Blair, who spent his entire time in office sucking up to George W. Bush and throwing British troops into the Iraq War.
The poodle.
Yeah.
And not only throwing the troops, but conspiring. Tony Blair, from my perspective, is a war criminal. He, with the Downing Street memos,
right.
He and Bush plotted to wage illegal, aggressive war against the people of Iraq, who had nothing to do with 9/11, who was not a threat to the United States.
Right. Yes.
And Bush really needed Tony Blair because Blair could actually speak English, which
there was an advantage there. He he knew how to use complete sentences.
I know, it's staggering. we're still one thing you got to say for Barack Obama. It's still a little disorienting to have a guy in the White House who speaks with proper syntax. But you know, the bottom line is that the Labour Party in England made a mess. You know, they sent troops into a ridiculous, worthless war. They gave George W. Bush cover. Because they were the only other country in the world crazy enough to send troops over there. Tony Blair, who was supposed to be the great liberal, the great white hope for, labor, turned out to be a complete bust.
Shocking. I wonder why Rupert Murdoch endorsed him.
Yeah, right. And so now we have Barack Obama here, finally an African-American president, thankfully. Yeah. It is a great thing that we have an African-American president. That's the one promise that Barack Obama has kept. He said if he goes elected, he would put an African-American in the White House. And by God, he's actually put three in there. Four. And so, him and his wife and his two daughters. But beyond that, nothing he said has he done. He's also come out very strongly against legalized pot. You know, there will be referenda on the ballot in California and the state of Washington. I understand we may have a medical marijuana bill here in Ohio. And this guy who smoked pot snorted cocaine, clearly courted.
And wrote about it in his biography.
Right, clearly courted the countercultural left. Is now and he did one thing, which is, of course, the Attorney General of the United States.
Oh, yeah, in his autobiography, when he was young, he talked about his drug use.
Right, and he said he was asked if he inhaled, and he said, well, that was the point, wasn't it? So,
unlike Bill Clinton, who, of course, claimed he didn't break any U.S. laws when he smoked pot in England.
Right, and he didn't claim he didn't inhale.
At least he was honest.
Al Gore, who claimed he only smoked once.
Well, I mean, at least Barack Obama was honest.
Except all his friends says Al Gore used to smoke regularly.
Right, and, now he's campaigning against legal pot, which would save the country billions of dollars. You know, I've just done another.
Well, 800,000 small town bus a year.
That's what I was saying. Like, how would that come back as good tax references? Like, if you have the drug dealer who stays right up the street and he sells it cheaper than the government, and how would they crack down on that is what I want to find out.
Well, you know, the people, the most focused group against legalization is the drug dealers. I mean, they're about to lose big money. There was just a very interesting... What's that?
They'd just be prosecuted by the IRS for tax evasion.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the drug dealers would still get cracked down for, you know, but it would be for not paying taxes.
Well, it's the number one cash crop in America. It's ridiculous that it's not being taxed.
Yeah. And it's actually the tip of the iceberg, because marijuana is nowhere near as big an issue as hemp. I mean, hemp for paper, hemp for food.
Clothing.
Hemp for clothing. All these things were staples of the early United States. It was mandatory in Jamestown in 1607 to grow hemp. Washington, Madison, Jefferson, they all talk...
Mandatory?
Yes, it was mandatory, because they needed it as a cash crop. Oh. There's a long passage in... You know, Jefferson and Washington were both very astute farmers, and Washington talked extensively about raising hemp, and Jefferson has a really interesting passage in his farm journals, putting down tobacco, saying tobacco was a totally worthless crop. It destroyed the soil, but hemp was great, and he loved hemp. The fact is that once marijuana is legal... hemp has to be legal. It's a much bigger crop than marijuana, actually.
And it really wasn't illegal till 1937.
Right, and there some people believe, with some justification.
And technically, it's really not illegal. You just need that
stamp
which you can't get.
But Japan, Germany, Canada...
China.
China, they all have legal hemp. They make clothing out of hemp. Abraham Lincoln actually grew up in hemp clothing.
Wow.
Because it was what was available, and it was much... It's a strong, very strong fiber. I had a pair of hemp pants, which are now a pair of hemp shorts. And the longer you wear it...
And when Harvey first bought those in 1959,
yeah.
They were cutting edge.
That's right. And the longer you wear hemp, the softer it gets, actually. It gets more comfortable as you wear it. And then, of course, when you're done with it, you can smoke it. But, you know, hemp is a... Hemp, also for energy, biofuels. Hemp is a much better biofuel than corn and soy. And it's a much better paper than trees, which is, some people believe that's why it was made illegal, because the Hearst family had huge holdings in forests that they were using for trees, for paper, and didn't want to compete with hemp. But certainly for clothing, for paper, for fuel, those three items, hemp is a multi-billion dollar crop, and this country is just committing economic suicide by keeping it illegal because it looks like marijuana.
It seems like, you know, we take everything in the category of things that would make sense, and politicians will just do the opposite. Anything that would make sense, like legalizing marijuana or hemp, because it would make even, you know, you could raise revenue with that
right.
for the government. They just, you know, throw it out the window.
Well, and how about...
But we've really got to look, on a certain level, by making it illegal, you jack the price of it. It's a weed, right?
It's
inherently valueless in many ways.
Yeah.
You would have to stop it from growing. But if you were in the government, say the CIA in covert operations, and you dealt with drug dealers, gun runners,
right.
terrorists...
It's a great way to manipulate people.
Oh, and it's a great way to raise revenue. It's $1 trillion. Look, three products, cocoa leaves, hemp, poppy seeds
right.
are a $1 trillion black market industry, which our intelligence agencies from the CIA and terrorist groups, whether they're on our side or not, and entrepreneur illegal drug and arms dealers are dealing with worldwide.
Then you have everybody in the prison industrial complex
sure.
who's also making a lot of money off of everybody they're incarcerating.
Sure.
Right. And the lawyers,
everybody,
and
all
the
private contracts.
But you also jack up the price for all these things, which are inherently not very valuable. They're easy to grow.
Well, it's the same reason we don't have renewable energy. Because, you know, it's free. And so the guys who make the nuclear plants and dig the coal, hire people to dig the coal and spill the oil, these guys don't want wind and solar and tidal and geothermal and all that other stuff because they can't monopolize it. It's too easy to get.
Decentralized can be controlled by communities and individuals.
Yeah, and they think that their future's shored up. They're rich. I mean,
right.
they have the ability to create an environment for themselves and their small, you know, families or their group of people that's going to be comfortable.
Right.
They're gated communities.
And another big opponent of illegal marijuana, by the way, is the pharmaceutical industry, because hemp is marijuana is a natural antidepressant. And so you've got all these ads now for all these antidepressants, which probably don't work.
Prozac,
and they're addictive.
Yeah, and they're addictive.
Sure.
And the reason people smoke marijuana is to fight depression. One of the major reasons is to fight depression. It is an antidepressant. But the problem is it's free. You can grow it. And that's why the pharmaceutical industry doesn't want it.
And generally, it's a non-violent drug. I mean, that's why I've always been a big fan of Snoop Doggy Dogg, because, you know, when the crack was ravaging the inner city, you know, he kind of brought the chronic back. And people that tend to smoke pot tend not to be as violent as those that do drugs like crack.
I think the biggest danger, if marijuana is made legal, we're going to have to raise the minimum speed limit on the highway. Is that because... Sorry.
Wow. It's true.
This is WCRS 102.1, 98.3, Fight Back. And just to wrap it up, a bit of news for you. Sarah Palin is going to be hosting a nature show on the Discovery Channel.
That's nature's
the
way
learning
of
channel.
Telling you something's wrong.
Exactly. And she's going to be... getting paid, let's see if I can find it, $1.2 million per episode to host her TV series called Sarah Palin's Alaska.
Oh, for God's sake.
So I wonder if she's going...
Wrestling with Wolves.
I wonder if she's going to talk about how she promoted aerial wolf hunting, the delisting of the polar bear on the threatened species list in 2008, and how she promoted... the Pebble Mine operation and allowed them to dump cyanide and mining waste into streams that make their way into Bristol Bay.
She can see Russia from her front porch, so I think
exactly.
That... And I'm sure she's going to have a wonderful show on the benefits of the Exxon Valdez oil spill.
Right.
And how it's really led to a great boom in wildlife.
It creates a great habitat. So... so that'll be interesting.
Drill baby drill.
Is that on the Discovery Channel?
It'll be on the Learning Channel.
The Learning Channel.
Discovery.
And they're learning
Discovery
how to do politics, you know, with a future presidential candidate.
So that'll be free advertising for her if she runs for office in the future.
Well, sadly, in the old days, you'd say there's no way she could be elected. But after Ronald Reagan, and particularly after
W,
how can you say? I mean, the bar is so low. The only thing you can argue is that it was a great leap forward for the cognitively impaired.
Right.
There's nobody, virtually nobody in the U.S. that can now be barred from high office because of their inability to speak or because their IQ is low.
I mean, she's like a character on Saturday Night Live. They did a great impression of her. And, you know, I think, honestly, one thing people want is sensationalism and just to be entertained. So, you know, unfortunately...
Well, they wanted that in the Roman Empire, too, feeding people to wild animals and, you know, gladiator fights.
Maybe we should start doing that. Maybe we will anyway.
Well, I think, we're already doing it with the cop show and the other live horrendous things.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's pathetic, and this oil spill until it stops is just it's an ongoing catastrophic nervous breakdown.
And her policy, drill baby drill, and now she's on.
Well, it's
the
in
Discovery
the
Discovery show doing a green show.
It's going to be greenwashing her campaign and. It's just a lot of sensationalism. It's unfortunately, I think, what Americans want. You know, our education system is in shambles. And, I mean, it really kind of appeals to the lowest common denominator. It's very unfortunate.
Yeah, and, it's not just Sarah Palin. I mean, presumably John Kerry and Joe Lieberman can read and write. And they have just instituted or introduced a climate bill that advocates more offshore drilling. So let's be fair to Sarah Palin here. These guys who are
but they're just following the lead of their president, aren't they?
Everything
Obama
that
called for offshore drilling.
Everything that would be good policy and make sense, just throw it away. Just throw it away. Do the opposite, and that's what they're doing.
And you're reading, or I'm reading, environmental groups, a couple of them, the corporate environmental groups, so called, endorsing this bill, this climate bill. People don't give it much chance of passing, and I hope that's true, because it's a terrible piece of crap, and let's hesitate to put down Sarah Palin when you have guys like geniuses like John Kerry and Joe Lieberman advocating this kind of environmental disaster. It's astounding.
Right. Well, I guess that's about it for Fight Back this week. Any final comments, gentlemen?
Stay away from the coast.
And let's as we fight back, let's get to Solartopia. The vision is still out there. We do have the technology and the ability to generate all the power we need completely from renewable means, and that's where we got to go.
That's the last word. Peace.